Welcome to the New Church Buccleuch. This is an audio recording of a sermon given by Pastor Mark.
Good morning again, everybody. Today we round up our series that we have been doing over the last few weeks. We've been looking at the topic, prepare the way. How do we prepare the way for the Lord? How do we prepare for Christmas in our own lives? And we've looked at the idea that Christmas, or the birth of the Lord, is the birth of love in our lives. So how do we prepare that birth of love in our lives? And so we've looked at how the Lord starts off by preparing the ground, that the Lord prepares each one of us from the time we are born to right now to start the journey, or to continue the journey with Him, to find a heavenly, loving, useful life. So the Lord starts off the process. He has prepared us. He's prepared the ground to receive His Word. And then we saw how the story of John the Baptist represents our response then to the Lord. How are we going to respond? And we respond by preparing the way, sweeping our life of old habits, habits that are hurtful. And so we start off by taking on some external habits. We read the Lord's Word. We pray every day. We attend church. We give. We serve. Those are the external habits of a Christian life. But as we're walking that path, as we're starting those external habits, the Lord is trying to bend us to go deeper, bend us to go inwards into our life and to look at not just the external aspects of our life, but what is happening inside? What is happening in my heart? What is happening in my mind? What are those hurtful thoughts that I am having? Where am I coming from a place of selfishness and control in my life? How do I give those things up? How can I push those things aside and make way for new habits of understanding and cooperation and caring and loving? And that process is called repentance. And so John the Baptist came preaching repentance, right? That inner change is what the Lord is truly after. So the external changes that we make, plus the internal changes we make, is what our Christian walk is about. And we looked at how we can get stuck when we are just looking at the external aspects of our Christian walk. And that the Lord is trying to get us to move more deeply, more into our mind, into our heart. Pay attention to what is happening there. And what this preparing the way is doing, as we are trying to create new habits in our life, what we are doing is we're hearing the word of the Lord and we are putting it into action in our life. Hearing the truth and trying to live that in our life. And this is where many Christians, and we find the message out there in the Christian church, that it's not necessary to put that into action. That you can just say that you know the Lord, that you can just say that you give your life to Him, and that's it. There's nothing more that you need to do or that you can do. But if we go to Scripture, and if we read Scripture carefully, how many times does the Lord say to us, now bear fruit? How many times does the Lord ask us to serve? The Lord, throughout His gospel, throughout the Old Testament, is teaching us to take our faith and to put it into action. Take what we know and live it. Because if we think about faith, what is it that the Lord is trying to teach us through those truths? What is He trying to teach us through our faith? But how to love? Love is not just a feeling. Love is not just a feeling. If you are a parent, then you know from love for your children, you will do anything. Right? how many of us know the sacrifice of time it takes for our children? Right? We've got to put things that we want aside and we sacrifice our time for our children. Help get them to the places that they want to go. Give them the attention that they need. We sacrifice our money for them. Right? We could spend all the money on ourselves, but we love our kids. And so we spend the necessary money on our kids. Why? Because we love them. Love is an action. It's in the things that we do. And that's where the Lord is trying to lead us to. He's trying to lead us to love others through our faith, through living the things that we know. But we don't start there. We don't start in love. We start in selfishness. And growing into love is a process. And the Christmas story shows us how that process works. If Christmas, if the birth of the Lord is the birth of love in our lives, then everything around that story is telling us how we prepare and how we grow in that love. And today we're going to look at the story of the wise men, of how the wise men show us what happens when we recognize that there's something new in our lives. But before we get to the story, I want to compare this story to something else that happens in our lives. We probably all have a job, or we have worked. Perhaps we're staying at home. Perhaps we're in between jobs at the moment. But we all know that there is a difference between book smart and experience on the job. Okay? Companies know that there's a big difference between the two. And so when companies are looking for people, they're looking for people, yes, who have the qualification, the book smart, but who also have the experience. Because they know that you can learn only so much through books, and the rest you learn on the job. That there is so much more to learn as you're going through the process of taking what you know and putting it into action. Because as you're putting things into action, so you're coming back to the knowledge that you have and you're saying, well, is what I know actually correct? Can I bring more understanding to it? Are there things that need to be adjusted? Are there things that actually need to be thrown out because they are wrong or they're out of date in our work knowledge? So business recognizes the importance of book knowledge, but also the importance of being able to work and having experience in the workplace. Why is that so common in the workplace? Because there is a spiritual principle behind that. People know that that works because there is a spiritual principle behind it that's driving that same, in that same format. We can know about the Lord, but when we put that into practice in our lives, we can learn so much more. And this is the story of the wise men. I want to read the story to you, and you can follow along in your pew cards. I'm going to read the story through once, and then I'm going to go back to the beginning and break it down for what it means in our lives. So we read from Matthew 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. In the new church, we are privileged and blessed to be able to look into these stories that the Lord gives us and to uncover not just a beautiful story that kids enjoy and that we still enjoy as adults, but to find a spiritual meaning, find a deeper meaning within the story that relates to our life. So how does the story relate to us? So we've already said that Christmas, or the birth of the Lord, represents the birth of love. When we, for the first time, are able to love, not from ourselves, but from the Lord's love with us. That's when we truly love somebody else. So the story starts now after Jesus was born. After love is born in our lives. Love is born after we've done the preparation in our lives, as we've put away hurtful things, as we've put away things in our life that are a barrier to other people, and we've tried to put on new habits and we've practiced living what the Lord has taught us. When we have done that, when we are doing that, in the process of trying to live the Lord's commandments, the Lord is born in us. Love is born in us. So the story of the wise men starts when we first realize, well, hang on, there's something new in my life. If we think about practicing loving other people, we do it not because we love, but because we know it's the right thing to do. We do it because we know the Lord teaches that I must do this. And so we do it almost out of an obligation. I have to do this. I have to force myself to do this because the Lord wants this from me. But as we do that, as we reach out to someone who perhaps is in grief or is struggling, and we offer them a listening ear, something simple as a listening ear, in that simple act of living our faith, of thinking about them in that moment, when we see their reaction, when we see them respond with thanks and gratitude for all that you gave them. And what did you give them? Just a listening ear. Something small can mean so much for people. And when we see them respond with such kindness and gratitude and love for what we have given, the Lord stirs what we can best describe as a warm, fuzzy feeling. Anybody felt a warm, fuzzy feeling? An unexpected, warm, fuzzy feeling when you have done something simple for someone and you've seen that reaction? And there's that warm, fuzzy feeling. It's the only way we can describe this feeling, this identifying, this noticing something new. And that's the birth of the Lord in our life. A gift of love, a gift of inner happiness, a gift of inner joy that we've been able to help this person. That's the Lord's birth in our life, that warmth that we feel in that moment. The Lord is born. But it's during the days of Herod the king who's in Jerusalem. Now, Herod and Jerusalem represent our selfishness. Herod, the king that rules over us, is selfishness that rules over us. And Jerusalem, the city, represents all the knowledge, all the understanding, all the teachings that we have that support us in our selfishness. So what happens when the wise men arrive? Herod is troubled. When we are trying to grow as Christians, when we are trying to grow in our relationship with the Lord, when we experience those moments where the Lord is born, those moments when we have tried to practice what the Lord has taught, and there is a gift from the Lord that we receive back from that person. Our selfishness is troubled, right? Because we want happiness for ourselves. We think that happiness comes when I can take from people. I want people's attention. I want people's praise. I want things from this world. I want money. I want, right? Selfishness wants things for itself, and things, that's where happiness is going to come from. But now the Lord is bringing something new into our lives that doesn't come from us, that we actually didn't have much control over, that we couldn't really determine. It was just doing what we knew to be right, and suddenly we receive this warmth in our lives. Now, if we know the story more deeply, we haven't read all the story, but Herod wants to worship the Lord. In actual fact, Herod wants to go out and kill all the children who are under the age of 2. Our selfishness does not want anything new. Our selfishness does not want to give up anything. It wants to destroy any new life that comes into our life. So we see the wise men coming from the east. Now, if we think of east is a powerful image in the Lord's word and occurs over and over again. Our building faces east. The word that we have up there is in the east, because it has a special meaning to it. I want to read to you from the teachings for the new church and follow along in your pew card. The good, or the love that comes from faith, which is meant by the land of the east. So when we are trying to live according to our faith, and when we're living according to our faith and the love comes from that faith, right? Because our faith is trying to get us to love other people. So when we are acting in faith, and when we experience love that comes from faith, which is meant by the land of the east, is nothing else but that which in the word is called charity, or love towards the neighbor. And charity towards the neighbor is nothing else than a life according to the Lord's commandments. That takes us right back to preparing the way. To prepare the way was about trying to live the Lord's commandments. When we are living the Lord's commandments, then we are loving the neighbor. When we are loving the neighbor, there is goodness that the Lord can bring into this world from our faith. So that's represented by the land in the east. That part of our life, or that time in our life, that moment in our life when we are living our faith, when we are thinking about others more than ourselves, that is the land of the east. In that moment of loving other people, of thinking about them more than ourselves, wise men come from the east. Wise men represent an understanding that we gain from that experience. Think about the work experience, right? We take our knowledge, book knowledge, put it into experience, and we learn new stuff. While we're trying to love other people, putting our faith into action, we learn new things. We come to understand things better. We grasp the truth that the Lord is trying to teach us more firmly, more clearly in our minds. Those are the wise men. And they see a star, a new idea, a new truth that becomes clear in the sky for them. And they follow that star. And where does it take them? First, to Jerusalem. In our state of practicing what the Lord is teaching, when we are trying to live our faith, when we experience something new, when we experience love for another person, and we get that new understanding, the first place we go is back to where we come from. Jerusalem represents that old church in us, the old life in us, that selfish life in us. And when we have a new knowledge, a new understanding, a new truth that we have learnt, we follow that star. It takes us back to our current understanding, and it shakes our current understanding. Herod was troubled, and the whole of Jerusalem with him. That new idea challenges our existing thinking. The Christian walk is about being challenged. Right? If it was easy, everyone would be living a heavenly life. But there is a challenge within this walk that we are doing, a challenge to practice, a challenge to learn through that experience and to hold on to that truth. Because Herod wants to destroy. Selfishness wants to destroy anything that is good and loving from the Lord. And so did the wise men listen to Herod? No, they didn't. They departed from him another way. They knew Herod was up to no good. Our selfishness wants to destroy, but yet we've got to follow that star. We've got to hold on to that new idea that we have. We've got to hold it and follow it. And where is it going to lead us? It's going to lead us to the Lord Himself. It's going to lead us to love. It's going to lead us to Bethlehem. It's going to lead us to a new life. A new life. A new life of love, not of our doing, but a new life of love that flowing from the Lord. And so this is the story of Christmas. The Lord wants to be born in each one of us. His love born in our minds. But we've got to practice what He's teaching. We've got to experience what He's teaching. We've got to learn from those experiences and hold on to those new ideas. And regardless of what our selfishness is telling us, we've got to follow that star because it is leading us to understand what it is to love. It's taking our faith and making it a living, breathing life of love. I want to read to you from the teachings for the new church, from the book called Secrets of Heaven. It's describing this process of what's the difference between just knowing and living. The truths concerning charity or love towards a neighbor and concerning love to the Lord must first be learnt before a person can be regenerated or reborn, and must also be acknowledged and believed. The truths about love are first implanted in our memory through the instruction received from parents and teachers, then from the word of the Lord, and after that from our personal reflection on them. But all of this does no more than deposit these truths in our natural memory, and so to place them among the knowledges there. They are still not acknowledged, believed, and received unless life, our life, is led in accordance with those truths. In which case we enter into an affection for them, a love for them. We are moved by these truths. And insofar as we enter into an affection for them, because our life accords with them, those truths are implanted in our natural as their own soil. So we've got to live these truths that the Lord gives us in order for them to really take root in our life. Just saying we believe is not enough. It's a starting point. Just a starting point. But we've got to take it further into practice, into our life, out of just our memory and into the things that we do, so that we can build, or the Lord can build in us, an affection, a love for His truths, a love for doing His truths, and a love for the truths themselves. That's what the Lord is trying to promote in us all the time, is to get us to a point where we love His truths, not just as something out there, but we love the truths because this is how they affect my life. This is how they have changed my life. This is how they have brought peace to my life. This is how they have brought joy to my life. And over in the Christmas story, we hear that message about joy. The joy of Christmas. It should be the joy of a Christian life. Through the difficulties, we come to the joy. And so as we enter into this Christmas season, I hope that as you go out and you interact with your family and your friends at this special time, that you take the truths that you know and practice them. Give that opportunity to affect somebody else's life. And so in that moment, and you never know which moment, the Lord might just touch you with that warmth, with that peace, with that love. And then learn from that experience and take that experience and hold on to that experience and find the Lord in that experience. Amen. To the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, our Savior Jesus Christ, as we enter into this Christmas season, and as we think about love for friends and family, Lord, will you help us to grow and to recognize when a new love is born in us. Lord, help us to do the preparation work. Give us the strength and the courage to face where we are being selfish. But Lord, as we practice doing what is new, as we practice doing what is of your word, we pray that you will guide us to the point where you can be born within us. Help us to recognize that warmth, that joy, that peace that only you offer. Help us to learn from every experience of love, that we might build a new life in you. Lord, we thank you for your word, that it is guiding us, and that it is calling us to action. Lord, we ask that you be with us, guiding our thoughts, that we might learn to live a good and heavenly life with you. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.